as we explored another healing and teaching story, I described the coming of God's kingdom in our midst as the great unsticking, where the power of God doesn't just magically fix everything in our lives, but instead helps us get unstuck so that we can go to live and love. The kingdom of God is what gives us a push in the right direction when we're spinning out on the icy roads. This story is another great example of that. Jesus gets back to Capernaum, where he began his ministry after some time touring around Galilee. By this point, word of his teaching and his power has spread, and people begin to gather. He's teaching, and the house is full, so full that folks are spilling out the door. You can't even get anywhere near Jesus at this point. But a man who is paralyzed and his friends decide that they are not going to be turned away. Plans A and B were out the window, but plan cut a hole in the roof was a go. So they did. This was likely a thatched roof made of natural materials, so they had to carry their friend up there, dig a hole wide enough to get his whole stretcher through, and use rope to lower him into the room where Jesus sat. This was no small feat. And notice, none of them asks Jesus for anything. We assume they came for physical healing because the author makes a point to mention the man's paralysis. But Jesus doesn't make any assumptions. He sees the faith and determination that brought them to this moment and says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." What? Forgiveness does not change this man's physical condition. But that is what Jesus offers him. We've seen, even just in this story, that Jesus knows what's going on inside a person, their thoughts, their fears, their desires. And for whatever reason, Jesus knows that even more than physical healing, forgiveness is what this man needs in this moment. That's where he's stuck. And that's where Jesus starts getting him unstuck. Then we get distracted by a theological debate, which boils down to, can he do that? I like to imagine the scribes looking at each other from across the room like teenage girls, silently communicating things like, "Did you hear that? Yes, I heard that. What's going on? I don't know." We've all done that, right? Knowing what's going on, Jesus asks the crucial theological question, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Neither. On our own, both are equally impossible for us. But we see that both are equally possible and easy for Jesus. So, just to drive his point home, he does both. He turns to the paralyzed man and says, "Get up, take your mat, walk home." The man does. The people are amazed, astounded, dazzled. They have never seen anything like it. Jesus, in this story, does what only Jesus can do. He does not ask anything of us. He does not ask anything of his audience except to take his words and actions seriously, to trust in his power to forgive, to heal, to bring life out of death. It's easy to get caught up in the theological debate here about who Jesus is and what kind of authority he has and blah, blah, blah. But I keep coming back to those four friends at the beginning. It was their faith and determination that spawned this whole conversation to begin with. And out of all the people in this story, they are the ones who get it. They are the ones who would do anything, including causing major property damage, to get their friend in front of the one person who could help him. They are the ones who trusted in Jesus' power and goodness enough to say, "We are getting in there one way or another." They are the ones who stopped at nothing and let no one stand in their way to get to Jesus. There are lots of things in our lives and in the world that we can't fix, at least not on our own. Sometimes we're not even sure we know exactly what the problem is. But Jesus does, and Jesus can. This story is not a demand. It's an invitation. "Yes, I see you," says Jesus. "Yes, what you bring is enough. Yes, come and let nothing and no one stand in your way." So, like these nameless friends, we show up. We come to this sacred space intending to meet Jesus. And we bring all of our stuff and our family stuff and our friends' stuff and the world's stuff, and this is where we come to lay it all out. That is how we start getting unstuck. Friends, the questions we bring and the wounds we carry might look very different from the ones that we encounter in Scripture. The Bible is not super interested in answering our questions. Mark doesn't even tell us if these guys put the roof back together before they went home. But here is the good news. The power of Jesus to heal, to untangle, to forgive, that hasn't changed. Jesus is still here, still speaking, still inviting, still smiling as we make our way to him. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'll now invite you to rise as you're able and join us in hymn number 749. "Come, Live in the Light."
Thank you.
as guests invited by Jesus himself. We come not because we have it all together, not because we know exactly what we're doing, but because Christ calls us, saying, yes, come, this is my table and I want you here. So, let us pray. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty to give thanks to you at all times and in all places. O Lord, our Creator, almighty and everlasting God, you created heaven with all of its hosts and the earth with all of its plenty. You have given us life and being, and you preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your one and only Son, Jesus the Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. With all the company of heaven and all the saints on earth, we worship and adore your glorious name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Together we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break and the cup which we bless might be to us our communion in the body and blood of Christ. Grant that, being joined together in him, we might attain to the unity of our faith and grow up in all things into Christ Jesus, our Lord. Just as these grains have been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church might soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. On the same night that he was betrayed, Jesus sat at table with his disciples. There he took bread. He blessed God for it, and he broke it. He gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, given for you." After they had eaten, he took the cup, blessed God for it, and poured it out, saying, "This cup is the new covenant poured out in my blood. As often as you do this, remember me." This is not my table. This is not Parkwood's table. This is not a Presbyterian table. This is Christ's table. And precisely because of that, absolutely everyone is welcome. So please participate today in whatever way you are most comfortable. A word of instruction. In a moment, the ushers will begin dismissing folks by rows. We invite you to come forward through the center aisle, receive a piece of bread from me in the middle. Then you can go to the tables on either side, where an elder will place a cup in front of you on the table. You can take it from the table, partake, and leave the cup in the basket at the end of the table. If you cannot come forward, Lynn will come to you. I'll invite the servers forward.